Hello and welcome to a special edition of Author's Airwaves, where books come alive. This week we're featuring a reading from the new book, Nichols, A Tale of Dissociation, by Christine Stark from Modern History Press. You can learn more about this book at www.christinestark.com. Christine Stark was recorded live in Minneapolis, Minnesota at Patrick's Cabaret on September 9th and 10th, 2011. Now sit back and listen to the voice of the author, Christine Stark.
I'm going to read from my newly released novel titled Nichols, A Tale of Dissociation. And it's dedicated to both of my grandmothers, and one of my grandmothers is here tonight. So. And I'm starting out about a third of the way through the book, and the information that you need to know is that the main character, Little Miss So-and-so, or So-and-so as she's called now at this age, is being sexually assaulted by her father on a regular basis, and she refers to Patty throughout this piece, and Patty was her friend when she was 10, and her father sexually assaulted both of them, and then Patty disappeared, so the character doesn't know where Patty is or what happened to her. Age 15, 1983. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey. I run down the stairs. Bang, bang, bang. I slam each step. Did you shut off your music? Mom says from the kitchen. Bang, bang, bang. I ran back up the stairs. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. Too bad I can't sing for shit. Not for shit. I pull the plug on the radio, slam my door shut, run back down the stairs, drag my fingertips over the gold fuzzy crowns. Do you have to be so loud? Mom says. I don't say anything. Grab my duffel bag. Johnson High School Governor's Pride of the East Side Girls Basketball, written on one side. Let's go. I run past her to the garage. Hey, Missy, Mom says. If you're late, it's your fault, not mine. I've been ready for half an hour. We drive to school in the 1971 Chevy truck. It's gray and warm and almost spring, and tonight I play in my first varsity basketball game. Mom drives slow, not like how I'm going to drive when I get my license. I don't do anything slow or half-fast. Anyone who knows me knows speed is my thing. Can't you hurry up, I say. She ignores me. We get to school. She puts her blinker on to turn into the lock. Blink, blink, blink. Tips her chin, looks in the rearview mirror, waits for the oncoming car to pass, looks in the mirror again. What is she waiting for? I want to push her hand off the wheel, press down on the accelerator myself. Move. But she sits and waits for nothing. No cars, only gray mist with green and red refracted lights, floating splotches in the air. Do you know what refracted means, I say? She ignores me, turns into the lot. God, I hope no one from the varsity basketball team is standing around outside. No one is. I jump out of the truck. See you at the game, she says. I slam the door. Want to run into the school. But I have to be cool in case anyone is watching. But shit, I made it. I'm going to let her in at least two sports as a sophomore. So-and-so, Kelly yells from the doorway. So-and-so. She's in the big white Oxford shirt she wore to school, plus sky blue basketball shorts and knee-high matching socks, unlaced bright white Nike hog tops. She hugs me, smoke on her clothes. Way to go, you're playing up. Thanks, I say, like I'm cool, but really I want to dance around like a four-year-old. We high-five and walk into the school. You still want to go out tonight, right, so-and-so? She screeches the way she does when she's excited. She's a little bit crazy, but that's why I like her. Hell yeah, I say. Hell yeah, she says, and makes a fist. I've got the Monty all night long. I ride in the front of the bus with the sophomore team. The varsity team went to state last year, and I watched all their games on TV. Woohoo! I yelled whenever Ann Kine scored. She made the all-tournament team with a 17-point game average, and now here I am about to play with her. I block out Kelly and Kate yelling in my ears, watch the cars and trucks and lights pass speeds into a blur, if only Patty, and then I make my thoughts stop. Stall them right in their tracks. I can't wait to get my license, Kate says to Kelly. I half listen to them talk about nothing, while I stare at the back of the bus driver's head. He's mostly bald, except for a ring of dark brown hair. I stare, hope no one notices me staring at his hair. Sometimes there's too much sadness to hide. Hey, so-and-so, what's wrong? Kelly flicks my bangs, stares at my face, wrinkles her nose, punches me, says, my mom says your dad is Indian. You're not Indian, are you? I stare at the dark green dimpled vinyl seat. I say, where did that come from? Kelly calls black people niggers. You kind of look funny, like an Indian, she laughs. My shoulder knocks it. It's true, isn't it? I look up. Kate and Monica are laughing. Fear cuts into my stomach. Are they laughing because my gram is Indian? Because I look kind of funny? Dad would get mad. Woo-woo. Dad would get mad. Kelly says, so-and-so, don't play on varsity. Stay with us. The sophomore team yells, governors! I yank my sweats over my high tops. Kelly flings the bag of balls across the gym floor. They scatter like children on a playground. Patty, running across our elementary yard. Coach Terry White taps me. Coach is going to keep you entirely out of our game, he says. All right, I say. Terry leans down. This is your big chance, he whispers. Show him what you got. I nod. A ball bounces off my leg, jams under the bleachers. I pull my sweats up, dig the ball up with the toe of my high top. The sophomore team plays first, then the junior varsity, then the varsity. I sit in the stands by myself, nervous about what Kelly said. Scared she'll tell everyone, my dad won't even talk about being Indian. If she said something to him, I puck up my shoulders, keep my hands in my pockets, look tough. Something hits me in the back of the head. I don't look around, pretend like I didn't feel it. The varsity girls are behind me. Hey, someone yells, now I'll have to turn around. A whistle blows, the sophomore game is about to start. I look back, feel stupid. How come they call you so-and-so, Ann Kine says. Her curly blonde hair cut up above the tops of her ears. I say nothing. Yeah, what does so-and-so mean? Julie Brown says, eating a malt from Dairy Queen with a long red spoon. They're all sitting next to each other in the stands, their feet up on the rows in front of them. Are you so-so or what? I sink like they tied a stone around my neck, watch my friends play basketball without me at halftime. Mom and Dad show up, stand next to me in the stands. Dad with his belly and jacket flared open. I hunch in the stands. They say they'll be back for the varsity game. Make your old man proud, kid. Dad taps me on the shoulder. I say nothing. Don't want him to touch me. They leave. I push my duffel bag over. Try to sit big. Time to go. Someone taps me on the shoulder. I jump, embarrassed, zoning out like always. I'm hyper or I'm zoned. Julie Brown. We dress during the second quarter of JV, she says. Okay. I stand up, a dizzy spell coming on. I have to be tough, get hyper. I follow Julie Brown up the stands, stepping around people and over piles of coats and bags until we reach the hallway. You excited? She says. Sure, I say, shrug my shoulders, pretend like I don't care. I heard Coach brought you up for your quickness. Sure, I say, embarrassed. We walk into the locker room, stop by some lockers painted peach. Julie stretches her arms out over her head, looks at me. Crank the music, someone yells. Not Journey again, someone else yells. Too bad, Julie yells. We always listen to Journey before away games. She looks at me like she's trying to figure me out, grabs her ankles, stretches her long leg behind her. Just do what we say out there, and you'll be fine. She pats me on the head like I'm a kid, walks away. I throw my bag in a locker, get dressed. We change. I tighten my laces, stretch, stare at the sides of the lockers. Peachy colored, metal, a weird color, soft and smooth, but so cold. Let's go, they shout, run out the door. I follow them into the room next door where Coach is waiting on a stool. All right, he says, we brought up someone from the sophomore squad. Everybody say hello to so-and-so. She's going to help us out on defense. She's a regular Houdini, all right. Well, that didn't make a lot of sense. Just say hello to so-and-so. He taps his belt buckle. Hello, so-and-so, some of the team says. Okay, good, now let's get down to business. I tune him out, even though I should listen. Everything in the room is forest green, Moundsview colors, conference game, low ceiling. We win this, we've still got a shot at state. Thick mats lined up against the walls, white flowery dust on the mats. Let's go! 1, 2, 3, go Governors! We run out onto the court. The band's playing. If only Patty. I stop my brain. My feet shuffle right, shuffle left. Knees bent, palms up. Stare at nothing. Blur the stands, the people, the floor into nothing. Shuffle right, shuffle left. There's noise. The crowd, my teammates, the coach, the band. I hear it, but I don't hear it. Stay bent down, quick as a cat. I am pure motion in the warm-up, pure speed, pure power, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. My eyes water, I'm crying, I miss Patty. I sprint to the line, bend down, touch it, spring back. I can't stop my eyes from watering. If only Patty, stop those thoughts. Bend down, touch the line, turn, sprint to the next line. Bend down, touch, eyes watering. We do layups, two lines, pass, crisscross. I bring it into the basket, Dr. J style. I jump, float, twirl, lay it in, bright orange, backwards off the glass. Turn, run, I am pure motion, pure speed, pure victory. No one can touch me, no one can stop me. Tweet, tweet. All right, coach yells, everyone in. Great warm-up, so-and-so, someone says, pats me on the back. I don't say anything. We circle up. Mom smiles from the stands, gives me a thumbs up. I look away, try to listen. But I'm caught up in the sounds and the smells of the gym. Tennis shoes squeaking, people talking in the stands, cheerleaders yelling, a trombone fluttering up, then down, buttered popcorn, stale sweat, all of it makes me want to puke. Coach's voice rolls around in my head like water. So-and-so, right? I look up, embarrassed. Coach is looking at me. I nod. Say it, he says. Right, coach, I say. He smiles, all hands in the middle, a big daisy. One, two, three, go Governors! I sit down in the chair at the end. So-and-so! Kelly screams from the stand. So-and-so! I wonder if she's already drunk, hiding a flask of whiskey in her coat pocket. Kelly loves me, but I can't show love, or Mad Dad will kill it. I look at the clock at the other end of the gym. It's already 8:20. Time means nothing to me. Before I know it, the first quarter is over. We are up 16-15. I didn't get in. My shoulders slump. I hear my mom in my head. Sit up straight and smile. I slump more. So-and-so, coach says, crouched down in front of the bench. He points at me. You're starting the second quarter. I jump up. Point guard, we're staying with the zone. You're on top. I take off my long-sleeve jersey, shove it under the folding chair, pull on my uniform top. It springs back. I hate how short it is. One, two, three, break. I am pure speed, pure motion on the court. My high tops squeak, we circle up. The ref tosses the ball in the air, it spins slow-mo above our heads, then drops like a spider on a string. Ann smacks it, Julie Brown grabs the tip off, bounce passes it to me. I dribble down the side, smooth leather on my fingertips, cross over, reverse spin, one, two, three. I bank the orange off the glass, screaming everywhere, so-and-so, so-and-so. Sound is far away. I am pure, focused, floating, stinging bee. Everything I do for Patty. It's my fault. She's gone. I toe the line where the other team will throw it in. My hands up. A Mountain View girl grabs the ball, steps to the line. I see nothing. I see it all. Blur space and time into one. Nothing. I step in and out of time and space. I am 4 inches from the Mountain View girl. I am on top of a bed taller than a mountain. I'm waving my hands, following the orange, tracking. It's my fault. It's all my fault. Hands wave. I have 10 hands, 10 feet, 10 heads. It's my fault. I float on the ceiling. It's my fault. I sting like a bee. Smack the orange smooth leather. Cracks against my palm. It's my fault. Knock it into the Mountain View girl's face. Tweet. She holds her nose, stares at me. I look at nothing, toe the line. The ref hands her the orange leather. Tweet! I knock it back in her face. One, two, three times the crowd is screaming. So-and-so, so-and-so. My teams hit me on the back. The Mountain View girl runs up and down the line. I follow her. 10 hands, 10 feet, 10 heads, tall as a mountain, floating on the ceiling. Time and space are doorways I step through. I knock the ball out of bounds again. Mountain View can't get the ball in. They call a timeout. It's my fault. All of it's my fault. Every last thing. Floating on the ceiling while Dad's on top of me, on top of Patty. It's my fault. I'm here, a basketball star. Then I'm there, dead on the bed. Here, there, here, there. Stepping through the doorways. I should have kept the nickels in the purse. I should have kept the purse. It never would have happened. It's a new mom's view girl now. She smacks the ball, yells, "Break!" I kick her bounce pass into the stands. Grandma, I was the third leading scorer in my basketball game. I am a little kid. Oh, Grandma says, that's wonderful. Thanks, I say. I'll have Mom send the article from the paper. Oh, granddaughter, Grandma says, I'm so proud of you. You are the cream in my coffee. You too, Grandma, I say. I love you too.
Thank you for listening to Authors Airwaves, where books come alive. This week we've been listening to a reading by Christine Stark from the new book, Nichols, A Tale of Dissociation, from Modern History Press. You can learn more about this book at www.christinestark.com. I'm Victor Volkman. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast.